Visit Plain Ridge Park Casino this spring for all the playoff hoops and hockey action and the return of baseball. They've got the biggest screens, the best food and drink, plus they're giving away Penn Cash bonuses and prizes to Penn Play Rewards members. Not a member? Join today by downloading and registering for the Penn Play app from the App Store. Unlock all the fun, including a chance to win up to $2,000 in Penn Cash. All this and more. Make Plain Ridge Park Casino your spring sports viewing headquarters. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. Live chat at GameSenseMA.com. Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or GamblingHelplineMA.org.
D-O-D-G-E-R-S, team, 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 oh, I say O-M, O-M-A, O-M-A-L, O-M-A-L-L-E-Y, oh, really? No O'Malley. Sandy Koufax, oh, my Drysdale Maury, Wills, I love you so, and we defy, defy the J-I, J-I-N, J-I-N-T, J-I-N-T-S. D, I say D-O, D-O-D-G-E-R-S. The team that's all heart, all heart and all thumbs, they're my Los Angeles, your Los Angeles, our Los Angeles.
I'm CERN, guys.
Bye.
Let's just go to the Magic 8 Ball and see what the Magic 8 Ball says. Shake it up.
Good morning, everybody. Good morning. We are the Toucher and Rich radio program. We're in the Town Fair Tire Studios, 617-779-0985. The World Series starts this evening. And if you paid thousands of dollars for the opportunity to go enjoy yourself in the cold and late nights, it is truly an experience of a lifetime.
The Dodgers getting the Yankees treatment as far as the press is concerned, walking through the picket lines over at the hotel that they're staying at. The same thing. It's just, I mean, it's like their photographers were actually there ready and waiting to get that photo op because they knew where they were going to be staying. So I actually saw a bunch of them waiting for the Dodgers bus to pull up. And sure enough, it's all over the news now where you see the players getting off the bus and walking past all the people who are striking in front of the hotel as they go in. And so now that's all over the news as well. So
okay. That strike has been going on for quite some time.
There was a dude who was doing the... There's always one point person on the strike who's like yelling out the, what do we want?
Right.
Contract. What if we don't get it, shut it down. There's one guy who runs it each time. And sometimes you get one who's kind of like half-hearting it. You know, they've been there for 6 hours, and, you know, it's just kind of a drone doing the same thing, walking in a circle, hitting their Home Depot bucket. But then every once in a while, you get a guy who's inspired. And there's a dude who's there about every third day who I want to give a contract to like, front a metal band. He's got the best metal voice I've heard since, like, the dude from Slayer. Shut it down. Like, he's all in, and he doesn't ever let it go down. Like, he'll be there for 3 hours, and he'll be yelling just as strong as he was when he first got there.
Wow.
As when he left. So that dude, that guy's the killer. When you want to bring in the dude, like, when the news is there, you bring in this guy, Super Screamer. He's the man.
Casey, go ahead.
Hey, guys. Hey.
Hey, love what's up? Show.
Thanks.
Tip of the cap to you this morning.
Yes.
I just landed from Long Beach, landed in Logan. I sat next to the most obnoxious Dodgers fan, hooting and hollering the whole time. On a red eye, Fred. On a red eye. And they're like lifelong dream. We're going to a World Series game. But she has cancer. So I was like, after like 5 minutes of hooting and hollering, that's what she said.
Yeah, and then you can't say anything because you're trapped.
Pretty much. It's like, yeah, good. Yeah. That's cancer, but I guess we're going to... Still rooting for the Red Sox. It was the worst.
One more thing.
You're 100% right. If you're not using baby wipes Sunday morning, you're not partying hard enough Saturday night.
That's absolutely right. If you don't need baby wipes, you truly did not have the time of your life.
Did you just call in and rip a cancer patient?
You just called in and he said no.
What the hell was that?
Well, he said that he was next to someone who was being annoying.
All right.
But then she said she had cancer, so there was nothing he could do about it.
All right. Well, I mean, listen, it might suck that you're sitting there with it, but I mean, the fact that you called in and complained about a cancer patient.
Wait, so a cancer patient can't be annoying?
Yeah, but not enough to call a radio station and bitch about it.
Well, no, sure can. Hold on.
That's one of those things where you just kind of say, all right, you swallow it and you go, all right, fine.
Wait, so if I'm a cancer patient, I can do whatever I want?
That's not the case. Just calling in and bitching about it just is like, all right.
Well, no, if someone's being annoying next to me on a flight.
And yes, if they are a cancer patient, yes, they can. They can get away with it. And you got to suck it. Sorry. That's they're going through crap. They're going through a horrible time. You just sit there and you take it.
Well, hang on. He didn't ask. It was told to him. It was kind of like, all right, I'm going to be annoying. It's a red eye now where people are trying to get some sleep back from the West Coast. Right. I understand maybe this guy has to go to work this morning, whatever the case may be. But he said it because that meant, A, he couldn't sleep, and B, he couldn't tell this person off, look, could you please be quiet, because she told him, I have cancer, which is kind of the get-out-of-jail-free card on a trip back. I understand why the guy's a little frustrated.
I absolutely understand. He can't say anything.
Well, you can. And he didn't ask. She volunteered that information.
Right. She was being annoying.
That's a little different than it coming up over a casual course of conversation.
Mm-hmm.
Is it not?
I'd say anytime you have to call in and complain about someone like who has got cancer and is having a good time, I think that's all right. Maybe just hold back.
You're too close to it.
I know what I understand what that's like.
Mary's situation is different than this situation, right? It's different.
So when Mary had cancer, she could just go and do whatever she wanted and no one could get mad.
No, did she volunteer that information? Leukemia.
That is not my point. My point is, all right, somebody does that. It's annoying. Sure, it's fine. But the need to call in and complain about it,
He had a vent. He wasn't like he wanted to get that woman's number and prank her 5,000 times.
Yeah, it's not like he went and yelled and started screaming and yelling at her.
He did. He came on the air and started bitching about someone with cancer.
A guy who is exhausted because he spent 5.5-6 hours on a red-eye flight being unable to sleep.
Well, I could always be a man and say, pardon me, would you mind if I'm trying to get some sleep, if you could just keep it down?
Well, that would seem to be worse than
calling the radio station. Is being a polite human being saying.
I understand that you're very close to it, but
it's not even that. It's just that, I mean, at some point, let human decency take over. I'm not going to bitch about somebody having a good time who has cancer this morning.
Okay, well, I mean, it was an annoying thing on a flight, and he couldn't say anything because she had cancer.
You can say something. You can politely ask, I'm sorry, would you mind keeping it down?
I think the guy was very decent for not saying anything.
And calling in and bitching about her?
Well, yes. As a matter of fact, absolutely. I'd rather him vent to us than tell off at all.
Telling him off. You're asking them politely. It's a human being thing.
I don't know why that gives her a license.
Why can't you ask somebody that?
He felt like he couldn't say anything.
Why can't you?
I don't know, Rich. Educate us. Why can't you?
I'm asking you that. I think you can.
Because then
you're asking me to argue against what I believe in.
No, when someone says that they have cancer, generally what people will do is go, okay.
Yeah, well, feel free to say, if they're still yelling, hey, would you mind keeping it down? We're going to, you know, trying to get some sleep here. Right? It's a perfectly acceptable thing to ask.
All right, well, now we know.
Sounded like a nice guy to me.
Sounded like a nice guy to me, too.
Sounded like a nice guy for not, you know, say, would you mind being quiet, you know, letting the woman have her fun, but he was frustrated on the other side of it.
Yeah.
Why can't it be both? Why can't it be both? Why can't he be a nice guy about this?
I'm just saying, you don't call in a radio station and bitch about somebody.
She's
who is
not listening.
A good time.
I mean, she's a Dodger fan. She's not listening. Who cares?
Like human decency. You just go, all right.
It's not like he hurt anybody. Didn't hurt her on the flight. She has no idea he called in and was upset. Who's hurt by this?
Yeah.
I just don't think it's something that is good for the soul to bitch about somebody having a good time who has cancer. That's just one of those things.
The time of her life on an airplane?
Yeah, she's going to the game. Just ask them nicely. Just go, okay.
So
you can do that.
All right, then can you give us a list of rules that are acceptable?
You're being a jackass. I just said all you have to do is just say, hey, would you mind? Sleeping. Could you keep it down?
Granted.
Why are you scared of doing that?
That's a possibility.
Because if the person says they have cancer, then I don't want to. Then you got
to. You're afraid to talk to somebody with cancer?
No, I'm afraid to shoot them down like I would be someone
you're not
else.
Shooting them down. If somebody's on a plane and they're yelling a bunch, you ask them nicely.
I understand that part of it, Rich. And maybe he could have done that. But Short of that, it sounded to me, as I just said, like a nice guy who was very frustrated and didn't feel he could step out of bounds.
Understood.
Okay? Okay.
But you can. That's
maybe,
not out of bounds.
Maybe you can. Maybe that was his mistake. Yeah. But all the rest of it, I disagree with you on.
I do as well. Jay, go ahead.
Rich, you're completely wrong about this one, pal. Would you rather him stop the cancer patient from having a good time on the plane or come home, keep it to himself, and then say it when he gets back?
How about just don't bitch about it on the radio? It's like, all right, well, if that's the way he doesn't want to say anything to the cancer patient, then don't feel the need to call and bitch about a cancer patient.
He's not saying anything harmful about them. He's not saying that they're bad for having cancer. He's just saying that they kept him up all night. He had a bad night. He's not saying anything derogatory about them. What's the problem with it?
It's not even that big of a deal. It's just that starting off the show with someone bitching about a cancer patient having their dream trip or whatever it is, which it sounded like it was, just is like, all right, what are we doing? Just suck it. Just sit back and take it and not bitch about it.
Which so, he did the entire trip.
And then he called in and bitched.
Yes. Not to her.
Exactly. I don't know what your problem is.
Her dream is still alive. He's frustrated. That's all it is.
She's doing exactly what she wants to do.
She's blissfully ignorant of all of this. She's still going to enjoy the hell out of herself at Fenway Park tonight.
Listen, it's a morning where we're sitting here, and it's very emotional because of we had a big emotional moment regarding cancer with Roman Reigns last night. I know that was something...
How's Jimmy Stewart? Is he okay about this?
Maybe we
should check in with Jimmy.
He had 11 years. Andre, go ahead.
Yeah, I feel like, honestly, it would be more disrespectful to say something. I wouldn't say anything. And if I was like her husband or something or was with her, and someone actually told her, like, hey, be quiet, I would be more upset. To be honest with you.
Of course you'd be more upset to say, hey, be quiet.
Of course it's worse. I mean, the guy just wanted to vent anonymously on the radio. And he's calling in because of my own frustrations of being trapped on a tube with people. And then on top of it, he said he can't say anything because the woman next to him was having the trip, so he didn't want to say anything. If anything, the guy's a nice guy. I mean, what did he do? He did nothing wrong. Like, he said, I was on a red eye, and this is anonymously. I don't know who he is. I certainly don't know who he was sitting with. I mean, what's the big deal? Honestly, it's not a big deal.
Rich? He's talking to you.
Well, it wasn't a question. It wasn't a question.
I mean, this has really got your goat.
No, it doesn't got my goat. The guy called in, like, what are we doing complaining about cancer patients? And then you guys started going off.
I don't think he was complaining about some people with cancer.
He was complaining about the experience and the inability. He felt that it would not be a nice thing after she informed him that she had cancer.
Yes.
That was the argument.
Yeah, we were having a conversation about it.
Yes.
And then you've shut down.
Well, it's because I've said everything I wanted to say. I've said everything. I mean, it's like, you know, at some point I can't, convince you guys, so.
That's right.
That's right.
You know, so. I remain unconvinced.
I do as well. All right,
Rich.
It was completely shut down.
Boy, were you wrong.
just shut down.
I don't know how I can, just at some point, you deal with it, you know? Well, then he called and complained, which, whatever. You know, it's like, fine. It's something that lasted a minute. I'm just like, I don't think I want to start the show off with people complaining about cancer.
Well, it didn't say, hey, guy complains about someone with cancer on the phone.
Right.
I mean, what do you want us to do? All right. Well, listen, are you gonna shut down for the entire show?
I'm not shutting down.
Are you gonna participate?
What happened last night is next.
No.
He's leading the segment. I think we're good.
Have I ever shut down on the show?
No, that's me. I'm the one who does that.
I've shut down, too.
Yeah.
I never shut down.
Okay. What's coming up, Rich?
Well, we have a lot of hot sports and people calling about cancer patients and complaining.
Sounds good.
He's really pissed off.
Let's roll.
He's, like, super pissed.
Yeah, a little bit. It's, like, it's one of those things, like, you know, at some point, you know, it's... Things can be a distraction. It's like working with like the Miracle League and working with cancer patients. It's like, you know what? Sometimes they're not always showing their best selves. You know, sometimes they act a little different. Maybe there's maybe they never thought they would live to go to a World Series. And it's just one of those things where it's like, all right, just can you guys, can everybody just calm down and let them have their moment? And I know you're calling in and you can play. It's just one of those things that I think as a society, if we step back and just go and kind of understand what these people are going through.
He did let her have her moment.
And bitched about it.
I understand.
So he's not allowed to be frustrated?
You can be frustrated, but you don't have to call in and bitch about it on the number one station in the city. Like, that's like it's
he did it anonymously, and she has no idea.
And to be honest, everyone has a right to do what they want. This isn't something I wanted to turn to a big issue. But at the same time, I don't feel good taking callers bitching about how cancer patients act. Does everybody understand that?
I get that.
Do you understand that?
I get that.
There we go.
I guess. I mean, I don't think it. I mean, I just think that he was just sharing his annoyance on a 6-hour flight. I don't think that's a big deal.
I understand what you're saying, Rich, but I don't think this is a blanket statement.
No.
About how all cancer patients act. It's one instance, one situation, one frustration, which I understand.
Mm-hmm.
And you would be pretty frustrated, too. I know I would. I'd be really frustrated.
Well, it's like something, too. It's like with the Miracle League, there's some kids, you know, who are sick and they have diseases where they...
That's not this. This is different than that.
Well, it's maybe not being able to hold in the joy of doing something that they didn't think they were going to live to be able to do.
Two different things. If you're working with the Miracle League, you're there voluntarily. You know what the environment's like going in. You obviously want to be there. This is different. This is completely different than working with Miracle League kids or donating your time to help cancer patients and hospitals, all of which are extraordinarily noble pursuits. This is completely different than that.
I don't agree. It's just about having empathy for someone's situation, and that's it. And I just didn't want to take calls this morning where someone was bitching about cancer patients. That's it. And I don't think that there's anything wrong with that, and I'm sure you guys can understand that.
I do. I understand.
And it's not even because it's
view.
Close to me. It's just because that is just a human decency thing. And if we're going to do that, and if that's the bar we're setting, then that's not something I like being a part of. And I want to distance myself.
I will not take any of these phone calls. All right. That are all against you. All right. What are we going to talk about, Rich?
All right. We're going to finally talk about... There is a World Series that many people are excited about.
A lot of support coming his way. All right. So
is that true? Because I'm seeing kind of right down the middle.
Rich is blowing this thing. Very emotional start to the show. Sarge call. What's worse than sitting next to a Dodgers fan? That's what I see on the screen.
Mm-hmm.
This is exactly what I see on the screen. I don't know quite what you're looking at.
This show's all been about all these great transitions the last couple of weeks. Mm-hmm.
That's awesome.
All right.
We'll get to what happened last night in just a moment.
98.5, the Sports Hub. Recapping what you missed, it's Touchner and Rich.
98.5, the Sports Hub. We're Touchner and Rich. Rich, what happened last night?
Well, what happened last night is brought to you by Dunkin' Donuts. Head into Dunkin' today and sink your teeth into some delicious Halloween donuts. Available for a limited time only. These donuts are scary good. Well, you can't win if you can't score.
Smart triggers the inbound. Inside for the Kyrie. Kyrie from the corner. Follow away. Tough three. No good. Rebound Horford. One more chance. Out to Hayward for the tie. Rims out, and the ball game is over.
Wow.
He gave Hayward a clean look from the right wing to try to tie it. But the Celtics' offensive failures, beginning, middle, and end, do them in here tonight.
Yeah, the Celtics had two shots to tie it up at the end of regulation, but just like almost everything else they chucked up last night, neither went in. The Celtics lose to the lowly Orlando Magic at home, 93-90. And after an extremely sparse first quarter from the Seas, where they let the Magic build up an early lead, they played from behind nearly the rest of the entire game. The good news is that Kyrie finally found his footing in the second half, scoring 17 points in that frame. The bad news, he still doesn't really look like himself.
Fournier, left side of the floor, Jaylen Brown harasses him, pass comes into Vucevic, tries from the elbow, no good. Rebound Tatum, Boston down three, shot clock is off, 21 seconds to go. Tatum ducks the shoulder, drives strong, finds Horford, kick out Kyrie, up fakes, works his way to 14 feet, floater is up and good. It's a one-point game.
Yep, it was a game where the Celtics had plenty of open looks, but the shots, they just weren't falling, and they haven't been for the four games they've played this season. Of the 43-point attempts the Seas chucked up yesterday, only 9 went in. On top of that, this team has a huge problem getting to the free throw line, averaging just over 16 attempts per game, which is the worst in the league. Now, I get it with Hayward and Irving coming back from surgery, being hesitant to get in the paint, get physical. But other guys like Brown and Tatum, not going to the rim, that's a problem.
Well, Tatum had been going to the rim in the first few games. And on Saturday night, I think the Celtics took 30 or 40 free throws. I mean, Saturday night, they were
but
very
But think about
aggressive.
How much that skews that
No,
that
I understand. No, they had
how bad it's been the other game.
They had 24 free throws total in the first two games, which had tied them for last. And mm-hmm. back again, they took too many perimeter shots last night. And Brad Stevens said after the game, we're not that good. And to give Stevens credit, he's been saying that all through the preseason, and he hasn't changed at all. And it's a great teaching tool because they were awful on offense last night. Well, on the other end of the floor, however, they were really good.
Yeah, they're excellent. They're second, I think, ranked defensively in the league. But
there were certain players they could handle. There were certain others that they couldn't. Young man by the name of Jonathan Isaac.
I was going to bring that up. Yeah. Jonathan Isaac had a real nice game last night.
Yeah, he was really good. What do you have, 18
now,
points, I think?
Your point that you wanted to draft him instead of Jason Tatum was wrong, but your point that he was going to be good may be right.
I said that give it 3 years. That's what I said. I said, because he was a developmental prospect.
3 years and he's better than Tatum?
Yep.
That was his thing. Okay. Well, this is year two.
And he's on a bad team.
He's not better than Jason Tatum.
Well,
he's not going to be better than Jason Tatum.
You don't know that.
Yes, I do. He's not going to be better than Jason Tatum.
You don't know that.
I'm telling you right now know that.
He's very good.
He's
good.
Good. Has to grow into his body. He's a superior athlete.
We have not seen him tested the way Tatum has been, and he passed. You know, you look at the playoffs, and they threw him into the fire, and that's a test that he's had that Isaac's has not.
Well, not had the opportunity.
That's what I'm saying. Is that we have not seen that.
If he remains where he is, he will not have the opportunity for a long period of time.
That is a good point, but he was fun to watch last night, though.
Last night, they proved that they're the better team.
Well, on top of that, by the way, the starting five of Irving, Brown, Tatum, Hayward, and Horford, that lineup's just not working. They got yet to find any rhythm together. It's going to eventually, but right now, it's just dead on arrival. Good news.
Real quick, I don't mean to interrupt too much, but real quick, once Gordon Hayward has the seatbelt taken off and he's able to play more than 25 minutes a game.
Yeah.
And it may be a while before that happens. Just like it may be a while before the Celtics really find their footing.
Yep.
I think the lineup is going to look a lot different. Well, I think Hayward sitting at the beginning of the second half in these four games is not going to happen for much longer. You see every single night he looks more and more like himself. The first quarter, you look at the first quarter last night, that's what Gordon Hayward looked like in Utah 2 years ago.
Yeah, that's the most encouraging sign out of all of this. It's funny, it's almost kind of opposite for me what Kyrie's doing and what Hayward's doing, is that Hayward's starting to look like himself, and despite even scoring 17 in the second half yesterday, you can even agree that Kyrie does not look like Kyrie.
No, he doesn't look comfortable, I agree.
So, and it's taken a while. Like, he's passing in places where he would have found some sort of hole to get to the basket. And it's going to get back, and people forget that he had the surgery because Hayward's was such a drastic surgery. But I like what I'm seeing out of Hayward. But here is Brad Stevens, which on a night that his team couldn't score, this comment was somewhat interesting.
You know, we've had games before where you don't feel that way, but we missed a bunch of shots. That was the best offensively that we've played, and that's the encouraging part. Defensively, didn't provide enough resistance early, and it came back to bite us at the end.
Now, one thing he is right about is that they had a ton of open shots. Like, I mean, the plays played out the way they were supposed to, but nothing was going in. But this is not something that was a one-off. It's been like that for four games. Like, the shots are just off. So the good news is, as you said, defensively, they're second in the league right now, which has been interesting. But Gordon Hayward knows exactly what the issue is as well.
We have a lot of work to do, that's for sure. Through, how many preseason games? There was like three. I mean, we didn't play well in the four. We didn't play well in those either. So we have a lot of work to do. I have no doubt we'll figure it out, but definitely a lot of work to do.
And you're right, John. The one thing that Brad Stevens has been saying, even since the preseason, is we're not as good as we think we are right now.
He was saying that at the beginning of last year, too, when they were ripping off all those wins.
It's one thing to lose to the Raptors because you know that team's going to be great, but maybe getting slapped in the face by the Magic is something that makes you sit back and go, all right, we need to really look at what we're doing.
You say slapped in the face. They were awful the first quarter, and yeah, they had some problems in the third, but if the Celtics play defense like they played last night, they're going to be fine.
Get in the paint.
They're going to be fine. A little more aggressive on offense.
Brown looks awful.
By the way, perimeter shots.
Jaylen Brown looks awful. Like, he's regressed. I know it's only been four games, but in four games, He's kind of taking a step backwards.
Again, you have guys now trying to find their way in this offense. The shots that were going to Jaylen Brown the last 2 months of the season are now going to Kyrie Irving and Gordon Hayward. And I think now guys like Rozier, too, you have to figure out where you fit in now that you have Irving and Hayward there full time. I mean, you were able to pretty much shoot at will during the playoffs last year because the two main guys who would take shots were no longer there.
Somebody said, interesting, the Celtics didn't have any offensive problems when Ken Griffey Rules was behind the mic.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
That's right.
That's right.
Okay, even Brad
scored 103 points.
Yep.
Even Brad Stevens knows it. All right, Rich, what else is coming up?
Let's get to the World Series and what Chris Hale had to say about his belly button and so much more.
All right, here are the headlines.
The games are only half of it. Toucher and Rich, 98.5 The
Sports. 98.5 The Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. Be listening this morning at 6:50 for your chance to score a pair of vouchers for Warren Miller's Face the Winter film presented by Volkswagen. You'll be also be qualified to win a trip for two to Sugar Bush. Warren Miller's Face of Winter is coming to the Boston area November 1st through December 16th. For tickets and tour info, visit warrenmiller.com.
World Series Game 1 is tonight, and singing the national anthem is Are You Ready to Rock?
No.
It's about time they trotted him out.
No.
86 summers gone by. Bambino put a hit on their team.
When he dies, what's going to happen?
On a tear and a sigh.
They don't have nobody.
No, they're going to hang on. Is Neil Diamond still with us?
No.
Neil Diamond.
The third Pointer sister is still alive.
Oh, Ruth.
That's right.
So they might be able to get to it.
Didn't she sing the opening game this year?
She did.
Yeah.
One of the Pointer sisters.
One third of the Pointer sisters.
I'm not even sure if it's the one that is the lead singer.
The Fenway.
Who enjoys this in concert? There you go, James Taylor. Oh, of course, in other words.
They're gonna have another Coke. Here's the pop dog man.
These are things that happen
at a baseball chorus.
Game. seriously, when he dies, who takes over?
Well, I mean, it was great when Steven Tyler wanted to go out there. And just squawk the national anthem.
Okay, so you have Steven Tyler, and then when he goes, what's next?
You got the girl from Letters to Cleo.
Yeah.
Kay Hanley's going to go out there. Kay Hanley, or Buffalo Tom guy.
I mean, there's really, this is what it is.
Let's get Jay Maskus out there. I'd be cool with that. Has he ever done it before?
I'd be too loud.
Dinosaur Jr.?
Blow everyone eardrums out. But
Frank Black. Oh, that'd be awesome.
But they went to college here. I mean, they're not native Bostonians.
Sure, but you think Pixies, you think Boston.
Certainly.
They're considered a Boston band. That'd be kind of cool. Anything's better than that. But either way, the good news, it looks like prices for tonight's game have gone down a bit. Yesterday on the ticket broker sites, the cheapest seat you could find was about $500 for a standing room only single ticket. Now you can get two together in the upper right field grandstand for about $370 each. So that's a pretty decent decline from yesterday to today. What are we hearing about the weather this evening? What is it? Because I know it's supposed to rain a little bit today.
Rain for a lot of the day, but it's supposed to be gone by the time first pitch comes around.
It'll be cold.
It will definitely be cold.
Yep.
I think they're saying, 40 or something? Right around 40 degrees?
That's one of those things that you just want to be in the building. Because the amount of enjoyment you'll get physically from being there is no better than you would get on television. I mean, you're essentially buying the ticket to have the ticket. You know what I'm saying? You're buying the ticket so you can, frame it.
Have you ever been to a World Series?
No. I've been to an ALCS. I've never been to a World Series.
You know what? I got to admit, that was probably one of the better sporting events as far as a championship or anything like that or a playoff that I've been to. The World Series, that's kind of cool. Being at a World Series game is all right.
Yep.
You went to the NBA Finals, right?
Yes. Yeah. I've been fortunate. I've been to a couple, three World Series games. So it's worth it being in the ballpark.
Yeah. And you paid for Stanley Cup tickets too, right?
I've been to Stanley Cup tickets, Stanley Cup too, but I paid $850 for one seat. to 1999 Red Sox. No, no, I went with a buddy of mine. Okay. We had reserve grandstand behind home plate, $850, 1999, Game 3, Red Sox-Yankees, Pedro Martinez against Roger Clemens. That's the most I've ever paid for a seat.
I've never been to a World Series, a NBA Finals, nor a NHL Stanley Cup game.
Yeah, I've never went to a Stanley Cup game.
I've only been to Super Bowl.
Being in the building is great. You've never been to a Stanley Cup game? Even when the Bruins? During that run?
During that run, I went to the Eastern Conference Finals game, which was the best game.
Yeah, was that the same game?
I think I paid $450 for a seat in the 300s, game four of the Cup Finals the year they won it.
Yeah, I didn't go to that.
I need to spend my money on bicycles.
Do we have an update on that?
Young Nicholas will say that he's coming over, and then he never follows up.
Oh. Well, like, Nick's too busy.
Yeah, you
going
did
to, like,
text
weddings.
Me, but you text me when I'm asleep. You text me like in the middle of the day. If you want to come out today, I have time. I have a meeting at 8 o'clock in the evening. Thank God, which is lovely. I have a meeting at 8 o'clock in the evening.
Right at first pitch.
Right, exactly. But what do I need to see the game for? And then, when am I going to contribute? But young Nicholas, I'm home almost all day. If you would like to come over. And now that I look at it, the bicycle seems awfully easy to put together. Because now it's got everything attached to it almost.
Yeah, wait till Nick gets a hold of it.
Yeah, then it's going to be like upside down. It's going to turn into a unicycle.
Well, yesterday it was all about Chris Sale's belly button and the infected ring that may or may not be in it. Here he is being asked about it.
Chris, a lot of people thought you were joking when you mentioned the belly button story. Were you being serious about that?
I'll leave that for you guys to debate.
Mm-hmm. Felger and Maz were having an actual conversation about that.
About an infected belly button ring?
Like, they believed that he was still not telling the truth, but they were saying if it was true,
well, that's how what bad they do. It would be. But that's what they do, of course.
But I'm like, come on. Seriously?
My whole thing I was fascinated with why nobody followed that up, the reporters, when he said that. And they all looked like serious. Like, yeah, he really has an infected belly button.
Because everyone there thinks that, oh, maybe the kids are putting belly button rings in right now.
Yes, those kids like Chris Sale. Well, here is Alex Cora being asked about Chris Sale starting tonight, and he mentions the belly button ring.
He's ready to roll. I think all these off days are going to help him out physically with his belly button ring, whatever. Very excited that he's going to throw the first pitch. He's a great opportunity for us to compete against a great organization, a great team, and we have the right guy on the mound.
And I do like Clayton Kershaw, and here's another reason why, is that somebody asked him one of these baseball-y questions about Fenway's history and the history of the stadium you're playing in, and here's Kershaw's answer.
I don't really think about that stuff. I mean, I think, I appreciate the history and everything that goes along with Fenway Park, but I came here, I don't know how long ago, 2000-something. Got to at least see it, got to be here, got to appreciate, the stadium and things like that, and check this one off as far as pitching tomorrow, but I don't really think about the history part of it too much, honestly.
It's like, this doesn't really mean I'm here to win.
Yeah, it's kind of a building. Yeah. The mound's still 60 feet 6 inches from home plate.
Oh, I mean, between these two teams, how many, like piano montage, grainy pictures of the old stadiums are they going to show?
Ebbets Field and the Brooklyn Dodgers in black and white.
If they mention the effing Brooklyn Dodgers,
oh, they will. Oh, they will.
And then the first 2 minutes. Are you kidding me? How many people from New York? How many people who grew up in Brooklyn? How many writers are going to wax poetic about, oh, and the
two
Dodgers killed
franchises.
Me when they moved to the West Coast?
When did they move? Like
late 50s.
Late 50s?
Late 50s.
Okay. I thought it was, when did the Giants move?
Same.
Oh, I thought it was earlier.
Nope.
So there's actually living people.
Yes.
Somebody said we should just get Marky Mark Wahlberg to do the national anthem. I got no problem with that.
And which way would he do it? Would he do it through his insane rapping skills?
Gary Cherone and Nuno Betancourt for the anthem? I'd be cool with that.
More Than Words was, the video was on MTV the other day. And
Dickie Barrett, that's a good one.
Oh, hey.
Who say, can you see by the dawn's early light? More Than Words.
And then he had the interpretive dancer behind him that's
yes,
in the band.
Indeed. More Than Words was on the other day. And then you feel so bad for the bassist and drummer because they're sitting there with their legs propped up and they give them like magazines to look at.
Oh.
So they show Newton Betancourt and
slapping
Gary Cherone.
On the guitar, yeah.
And then the other two guys are like out of view, but then they'll pan to them occasionally.
Yeah. I feel bad for Pat Badger on his pile of money he sleeps on at night. That dude makes mad bass playing skills money.
Does he, Pat Badger?
Pat Badger.
Oh.
In his skeleton costume on the front cover of the first album.
I was unaware of that. But they literally give him magazines to read.
And the drummer became the manager of Godsmack.
Oh.
He like basically launched, like, yeah, Paul Geary. There would be no Godsmack. And matter of fact, I don't know if he still manages them, but Dan's right in the room. He also managed the Smashing Pumpkins, or used to for a while.
All right. Well, now I don't feel so bad for him. But in that video, it's sad. So you sit there.
Yeah.
Oh, there's a tail of the tape between the.
You
the
gotta size be kidding! Come on. You gotta be kidding! You're actually putting that graphic up during the morning news.
Wow, the Los Angeles is quite a bit bigger than Boston.
Yes. I never would have known that if I hadn't seen that graphic.
It's way bigger than I thought.
Here are the famous people who root for the Red Sox and the famous people who root for the Dodgers.
Did you know that Krasinski, big
good
fan.
Good Lord, stop it.
No women like the Red Sox, apparently.
Yeah.
No.
Well, they don't want to show that.
They're a bunch of honking losers, apparently.
Who's that annoying chick that everyone turns to? Maria Menounos.
Her name is not up there. She's going to be pissed.
She's the one female celebrity fan, apparently, of Boston sports. Wow.
Celebrity.
It's always like,
term.
Maria Menounos.
Would have been Jennifer Garner before the breakup.
Yeah. Marina, I don't know if she's much of a celebrity anymore. All right. What do we average to finish this whole thing up?
We got some Patriots news. On top of that, one of the best play-by-play calls you've heard all week.
All right, caller number 10 right now to the Pride Motor Group contest line, 617-931-0985. We'll score a pair of vouchers for Warren Miller's Face of Winter film presented by Volkswagen. You'll also be qualified to win a trip for two to Sugar Bush. Warren Miller's Face of Winter is coming to the Boston area November 1st through December 16th. For tickets and tour info, visit warrenmiller.com.
Thatcher and Rich.
He's pressured by Claiborne. He starts to roll to his left. He pulls up. He heaves one deep to the end zone. That ball sailing toward the goal line. It's caught by White. White is caught and wrapped up short of the goal line. And the Patriots are going to win, but that close to a Hail Mary and an answered prayer for Chicago.
We just go home. Get on the bus and go home. Get the heck out of here.
Drop it.
Zolak not happy at all about that effort on Sunday.
Yeah, as you definitely should be upset. That was gross.
Gross. All the points they scored in the last 2 weeks.
Okay, this is funny.
81 points, and they won by a combined total of 10 points.
Greg Bedard kind of broke it down and put it in black and white yesterday, and he said the Patriots are on pace to allow 409 points, the most ever for a Belichick defense by 63 points. 0-2, and the third most, that was when it was the worst, and the third most in franchise history, only to the 1972 squad. So, and he broke it down about how this has happened in the past, especially in the last several years, where the defense would start off awful, but usually around this time, they will have found their stride. Like last year, I think it was like the first 4 weeks were just an atrocity, and then starting at week five, they kind of started to figure things out. I think for like the next like 7 or 8 weeks after that, they averaged something really ridiculously low, like 12 to 13 points a game. So Bedard's saying the one thing that's most concerning about this team is that it's not getting better. And you would think at this point they will have somewhat figured it out, but that is not the case. Now, that play we just played right there is, of course, the final play of yesterday's game. If you thought Zolak's call of it was interesting, you haven't heard the German call of the play. So as they do, because the Patriots are such a big international team, they invite the some of the sportscasters there. And here is what it sounded like if you were listening to the broadcast on German radio of that final play that we just played.
Drei safeties, alles spielt tief.
Jubitski, aber das macht er geschickt. Jetzt, da ist er.
Die Wand an. Ein Jahr zu kurz gesagt.
Guck's dir an. Jetzt dreht er sich noch.
Warum streckt er den Ball nicht aus?
Wahnsinn.
Ich glaub's nicht. Ja, Duran Harmon ist vor ihm.
Das haben sie gut gemacht. Also, ganz ehrlich,
Aber das White
Super
Dean
Arbeit
noch
von
fängt.
Der Defense.
Das
haben sie gut gemacht. Also, ganz ehrlich.
Aber das White
Super
Dean
Arbeit
noch
von
fängt.
Der Defense.
Yeah, that is a...
Du hast. Du hast mich.
That high note, it's very chilling, I ask.
I've been revisiting, by the way, the Chili Guy.
It has been very funny, yes. Well, per Adam Schefter, the MRI on Sony Michel revealed no structural damage per source, so he will be considered week to week. That has got to be a best case scenario for what everyone thought could be a season ender. And on top of that, the broadcast of the Bears game, for it being such a strange and infuriating game, was the best ratings that they have had all season long, they being the Patriots. On top of that, the when it came to Boston market, it was the number one highest rated program on TV, and that includes all of the ALCS games. So congratulations once again to the Patriots. They are king, even against a foe like the Bears that wasn't really the sexiest matchup of their schedule. So congratulations to them.
All right. Vin Scully is very, very old, yet he is still alive. So after the show yesterday, we were thinking of, are many people older than Vin Scully? Of people of note. So, Rich, when we come back, what are we going to play?
We're going to say, are they older or younger than Vin Scully?
Yep. That's exactly.
Over under Vin Scully.
Over under. It was going to be Vin Scully or underground.
Over underground?
That was my vote.
But nonetheless, we will have that for you. No commercials here, just the headlines.